And a warm welcome to everyone, those on the computer, the phone, and on Skype. We are happy that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. Let's begin our interactive church Wednesday midday testimony meeting with singing. Using your computer, you'll find a link to the words of the hymns and other information on the Order of Service webpage. Go to www.csinteractivechurch.org and within the turquoise box, click on the first link. Please note we mute everyone's phone to eliminate background noises, enabling a clearer connection, but do sing aloud wherever you may be. Our first hymn is on page 10 in the Christian Science Hymnal. And I'll read the second verse. Rejoice, ye people, praise his name. His care doth e'er surround us. His love to e'er thraldom came, and from its chains unbound us. Our Lord is God alone. No other power we own. No other voice we heed. No other help we need. His kingdom is forever. Hymn number 10. The readings are recorded so that people worldwide may listen to them at their convenience. The scriptural selections are from the King James Bible and the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Today's topic is protection. Put on the whole armor of pure consecration. Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. 2 Chronicles. If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Receive not the grace of God in vain, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Deuteronomy, and be your protection. 2 Chronicles, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians, let us, who are of the day, be sober. Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 1 Samuel. And David said unto Saul, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, and even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hebrews, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Acts. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. 2 Corinthians. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Psalms. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward he carried headlong. They meet with the darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty, so the poor have hope. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Life is real, and death is the illusion. We should consecrate existence not to the unknown God whom we ignorantly worship, but to the eternal Builder, the everlasting Father, to the life which mortal sense cannot impair, nor mortal belief destroy. While respecting all that is good in the church or out of it, one's consecration to Christ is more on the ground of demonstration than of profession. Christians must take up arms against error at home and abroad. They must grapple with sin in themselves and in others and continue this warfare until they have finished their course. If they keep the faith, they will have the crown of rejoicing. Christian experience teaches faith in the right and disbelief in the wrong. It bids us work the more earnestly in times of persecution, because then our labor is more needed. Giving a cup of cold water in Christ's name is a Christian service. Such acts bear their own justification and are under the protection of the Most High. And from the glossary, the definition of the word sword. Sword, the idea of truth, justice. And also the definition of adversary. Adversary. An adversary is one who opposes, denies, disputes, not one who constructs and sustains reality and truth. Jesus said of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of it. This view of Satan is confirmed by the name often conferred upon him in Scripture, the adversary. We cannot deny that life is sustained, and we should never deny the everlasting harmony of soul, simply because to the mortal senses there is seeming discord. When the first symptoms of disease appear, dispute the testimony of the material senses with divine science. Let your higher sense of justice destroy the false process of mortal opinions, which you name law, and then you will not be confined to a sick room nor laid upon a bed of suffering in payment of the last farthing, the last penalty demanded by error. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. Suffer no claim of sin or of sickness to grow upon the thought. Dismiss it with an abiding conviction that it is illegitimate, because you know that God is no more the author of sickness than he is of sin. You have no law of his to support the necessity either of sin or of sickness, but you have divine authority for denying that necessity in healing the sick. Agree to disagree with the approaching symptoms of chronic or acute disease, whether it is cancer, consumption, or smallpox. Justice is the moral signification of law. Injustice declares the absence of law. When the body is supposed to say, I'm sick, never plead guilty. Since matter cannot talk, it must be mortal mind which speaks. Therefore, meet the intimation with a protest. If you say, I am sick, you plead guilty, then your adversary will deliver you to the judge, mortal mind, and the judge will sentence you. Disease has no intelligence to declare itself something and announce its name. Mortal mind alone sentences itself. Therefore, make your own terms with sickness and be just to yourself and to others. mentally contradict every complaint from the body and rise to the true consciousness of life as love, as all that is pure and bearing the fruits of spirit. Fear is the fountain of sickness, and you master fear and sin through divine mind. Fear, which is an element of all disease, must be cast out to readjust the balance for God. Casting out evil and fear enables truth to outweigh error. The physical affirmation of disease should always be met with the mental negation. Whatever benefit is produced on the body must be expressed mentally. In the definition of Ark, Ark, safety, the understanding of spirit destroying belief in matter. The Ark indicates temptation overcome and followed by exaltation. We all must learn that life is God. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. The two-edged sword of truth must turn in every direction to guard the tree of life. Sin makes deadly thrusts at the Christian Scientist as ritualism and creed are summoned to give place to higher law. But science will ameliorate mortal malice. The Christianly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. He does violence to no man, neither is he a false accuser. The Christian Scientist wisely shapes his course and is honest and consistent in following the leadings of divine mind. He must prove through living as well as healing and teaching that Christ's way is the only one by which mortals are radically saved from sin and sickness. Any attempt to heal mortals with erring mortal mind instead of resting on the omnipotence of the divine mind must prove abortive. The tree must be good which produces good fruit. Guided by divine truth and not guesswork, the theologus, that is the student, the Christian and scientific expounder of the divine law, treats disease with more certain results than any other healer on the globe. The Christian Scientist should understand and adhere strictly to the rules of divine metaphysics as laid down in this work and rest his demonstration on this sure basis. If you believe that you are sick, should you say, "I am sick"? No. But you should tell your belief sometimes if this be requisite to protect others. If you commit a crime, should you acknowledge to yourself that you are a criminal? Yes. Your response should differ because of the different effects they produce. Usually, to admit that you are sick renders your case less curable, while to recognize your sin aids in destroying it. Both sin and sickness are error, and truth is their remedy. Innocence and truth overcome guilt and error. The 12th chapter of the Apocalypse typifies the divine method of warfare in science and the glorious results of this warfare. The following chapters depict the fatal effects of trying to meet error with error. The Revelator first exhibits the true warfare and then the false. Self-abnegation, by which we lay down all for truth or Christ in our warfare against error, is a rule in Christian Science. This rule clearly interprets God as divine principle, as life represented by the Father, as truth represented by the Son, as love represented by the Mother. Every mortal at some period, here or hereafter, must grapple with and overcome the mortal belief in a power opposed to God. The scripture, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many," is literally fulfilled when we are conscious of the supremacy of truth, by which the nothingness of error is seen. And we know that the nothingness of error is in proportion to its wickedness. He that touches the hem of Christ's robe and masters his mortal beliefs, animality, and hate, rejoices in the proof of healing, in a sweet and certain sense, that God is love. Revelation 12:15-16. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. What if the old dragon should send forth a new flood to drown the Christ idea? He can neither drown your voice with its roar, nor again sink the world into the deep waters of chaos and old night. In this age, the earth will help the woman. The spiritual idea will be understood. Those ready for the blessings you impart will give thanks. The waters will be pacified and Christ will command the wave. When God heals the sick or the sinning, they should know the great benefit which mind has wrought. They should also know the great delusion of mortal mind when it makes them sick or sinful. Who is telling the mankind of the foe in ambush? Is the informer one who sees the foe? If so, listen and be wise. Escape from evil and designate those as unfaithful stewards who have seen the danger and yet have given no warning. They're talking about the Revelator. With his spiritual strength, he has opened wide the gates of glory and illumined the night of paganism with the sublime grandeur of divine science, outshining sin, sorcery, lust, and hypocrisy. He takes away mitre and scepter. He enthrones pure and undefiled religion and lifts on high only those who have washed their robes white in obedience and suffering. Thus we see in both the first and last books of the Bible, in Genesis and in the Apocalypse, that sin is to be Christianly and scientifically reduced to its native nothingness. Love one another, 1 John 3:23, is the most simple and profound counsel of the inspired writer. Love fulfills the law of Christian Science. This concludes the readings and the recording portion of our meeting.